I would want to wear a mask and just be that guy. You know what I mean? I'd be the guy that wanted to go out and there's no epidemic, there's no pandemic, there's no strain of flu that is killing all my grandparents. But maybe I have a sniffles.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hello, Ted. It is episode 140 on the Trailer Junkies podcast, and we have a name.
A name?
We have a name.
What do you mean?
Grogu.
Oh, we have a name. Yes.
It's not Baby Yoda. It's not whatever we were thinking.
It's not the kid. Yes. Grogu.
The child has a name, Grogu.
Grogu.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the name?
Are you a fan? Do you like it?
I would prefer Baby Yoda. No, I don't like the name.
You're not a fan of the name. He doesn't look like a Grogu to you?
No, I was thinking Grogu was like, when they brought that out, I was just like, what on earth are they doing to us? Yeah, Grogu's pretty lame. I hate to say it, but so do you get the feeling that they came out with a name to stop all the Baby Yoda talk?
I think so. I think it's a mixture of a reward or a misdirection.
Is it a defensive move?
Yeah, I don't think it's defensive. I think that, you know, it was always going to be exposed. So yeah, I think that it was deliberate.
Oh, okay.
To reveal the name later, you know, at this point. But, you know, it's hard to say. Apparently there was another one of this species that had, it looks like Yoda, except he's younger and he has like a tuft of hair on the top of his head. And it was like a Yepper or something like that. So Yoda
Yepper
is the, you know, the most famous. And then, of course, Yoder, I think was the name of the other one.
Really? Yoder, like they can't get, all right, for okay. That I need to open a beer. Let's get after it, man. Yoder. I'll give Yoda Lehi who. All right, so what do you have tonight? Oh, I got a Smog City Buzzworthy.
Yes.
Thank you, Ted, for sending a bourbon barrel-aged Budweiser Imperial Honey Stout at 12.5%
That's right.
My way. Yeah, so this is in care of Ted Willett. He sent me a little package.
Yeah, so that awesome spot that where I've been getting my beers, where Frank got me my birthday present, I sent you a beer or two from there. But yeah, tonight we're both having this Buzzworthy from Smog City. So here we go.
Nice. Well, let's crack this sucker. Nice. Oh, that's a beautiful smell. Yeah. So it is a honey imperial stout at 12.5%, like I said, and a really deep, rich head being poured off. I'm not going to fill my whole glass. I'm going to leave about a third in the bottle. Ooh, nice aroma. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. That's wonderful. That's like chocolate ice cream or something.
It's very sweet.
It's like chocolate ice cream with a liqueur over it because it has like the alcohol finish as it's going down the neck.
Like a honey liqueur.
Yeah. And as it goes down the neck, it kind of has like an alcohol vapor that kind of creeps back into your sinus.
Very, very refreshing.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's like, oh, you know what? It's like milky almost.
Mm-hmm. But it still finishes crisp.
Oh, it's a crisp finish, yeah. And it leaves like a chocolatey aftertaste almost. Yeah, it's not one of those like overly smoky type. I think the honey cuts back on like the smokiness of the grain and so on. Yeah, this is really good, man. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Tasty.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. I really do.
Well, I appreciate your beer because Frank and I had one. We had a socially distant beer before he went up to see you guys. When I dropped these off and he was like, oh
nice.
I have a couple of Jimmy's beers left over here. So So we crack that open, and it has that, it has definitely matured into that even crisper finish on yours too. And, you know, Frank kept saying it's a Scotch ale. And I was like, yeah, it's got a, some Scotch ale elements, but it's more, definitely more complex than most Scotch ales that I've had, you know?
Yeah. And I would say it's, it was Scotch ale in grain. It was more of like an American West Coast IPA. It was a California ale yeast. Yeah. And then it was just a ton of hops that I had laying around. So it was a 10.5%.
Right.
And it was 95 IBU. So it was pretty robust, but yet light in flavor, though. It was pretty unique in that regard. All right. We could get more to Baby Yoda talk or Grogu talk, but let's talk about the week since we're kind of there.
Yeah.
And I'll just finish up with where we were. So you mentioned how my in-laws came up for Thanksgiving. And so, yeah, we hung out for 4 days. Me and Frank finished the last two beers I had of that batch. And, yeah, they did age pretty well, and they did change. Mm-hmm. It did mature and everything, so it was really good. So, well, I should say me, Frank, and Clarissa had the beer. Barbara had a sip, didn't like it, but she's not a beer drinker anyway. and then, yeah, it was just your typical, you know, hanging out with the grandkids. I barbecued the turkey Thanksgiving. You know, we just did stuff around here. There was some bike riding with the kids and some walking and some, you know, just hanging around the house and really low key, friendly. We watched a ton of stuff, which we'll get into in the what we're watching segment.
Okay.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, you know, it's Thanksgiving with the grandparents and the in-laws and stuff. Not much else to say about that other than we feasted for like 4 days. How about yourself? How was your week?
We too. We had a feast, but a feast for four. So it was just the immediate family, just Anne, myself, and the kids. And we still got formal. I put on pants and a button-down shirt. I was pretty...
Normally you're in your underwear, is that what
No,
it is?
I mean, but for just the four of us, I usually wear my shorts and a t-shirt. And I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt earlier in the day. And she didn't force us to wear it, but it was strongly suggested to dress up a little bit.
That's funny. Yeah, I could say I didn't. So none of us did, but
yeah.
You know, I was barbecuing the turkey and such, and you know, it's like I got some oak going on there and everything, and it's like you smell like a chimney when you're done. And the last thing I want to do is put on like, you know, a nice suit or something, and then my suit reeks for like the next funeral I got to go to or whatever, you know what I mean?
We aren't there yet. Come on. We don't need to. We're not in the funeral crowd yet. Are we still? We're still doing weddings, right? Let's do weddings. Let's say for weddings.
Weddings. Well, yeah, but there's okay. There's people all right. of all That's ages true. In your life. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that we had pretty, you know, pretty standard Thanksgiving week most people can
right.
relate to. So how about we jump ahead and we have a Uh-oh. Theme this week.
I didn't pick up on the theme.
You didn't pick up on the theme? So there's two trailers. And what I pulled out of both trailers is COVID misdirection.
Ah.
Yeah. So let's jump into Prom.
Okay. First, we'll start with Prom.
Yeah. So do you know what the COVID misdirection is with Prom?
No. I mean, I don't. I thought this is totally a Ryan Murphy special. Like it felt like Ryan Murphy singing, dancing, you know, strength of LGBTQ kind of space, but you had a COVID vibe. You had a COVID misdirection vibe.
Yeah, when you watch the way the trailer's cut, it starts off and it says, you don't know really anything that's going on.
Okay.
You know, you don't know about the girl wanting to take her girlfriend to prom or any of this stuff yet in the trailer. And they kind of have this, who says we should go to prom or not? We're going to vote whether or not we should go. And everybody votes against going to prom
right.
in the scene. And then you're watching and you're thinking, oh, it's like prom's coming up,
COVID-19
and all this stuff. And people are like, you know, we missed it last year. Should we do it this year? And that's where my mind right. was thinking, right? I also work in a high school, so maybe that's why.
Of course, yes. So you have a little bit more.
Then they kind of like flip it shortly after. And then you realize what they were voting against, was not letting her bring her girlfriend or something.
Right.
You know, and then it gets into the musical space of the thing and all that. But yeah, that was the COVID misdirection. And then we'll get to the next one and I'll talk about that COVID misdirection when we get there. But yeah, did you go to your prom?
Well, I went to a military academy. So we went to the regimental ball. That's what we had.
Wait a minute. You went to high school at the military academy?
It's a JROTC program. So yes, St. John's College High School.
Okay.
It's a Catholic military high school in Washington, D.C.
Wait, why am I just now learning about this?
I guess because I don't talk about those years too much. But yes. So yeah, I went to it was so funny. In D.C. It's on Military Road. And it's a military high school. So it was hilarious. And I was the command sergeant major of my year. So basically that's third in rank. However, you're an officer, but you're like, I don't want to mess this up, but you know, command sergeant, you probably know more about this than I do, but command sergeant major is like third in rank of the personnel, but you're actually like lower than all the lieutenants and stuff like that because you're like, command sergeant major.
Yeah, because you're on the enlisted side.
Right, right.
So were you planning on going military at some point or?
No, I wasn't.
Then why did you go?
I think my parents wanted a private school and it was, you know, it was one of the private schools that I could get into that was within our budget.
Was it expensive?
It wasn't as expensive because the Catholic side kind of helped out. But the other private schools that a lot of my elementary school friends went to were kind of just like the parochial schools that were a little more hoity-toity DC, you know?
Yeah. Now, was this an all-boys school then? Or
it was. So the sad thing was, like, you know, as a freshman and a junior, as a freshman and a sophomore, you kind of, as a freshman, really, you know, you're privates, you know, and the seniors are all officers and they really like rag on you. And, you know, if they see you in public and you're in uniform, they can have you, you know, salute them. And, you know, they make sure that you're not like wearing half of your uniform and like untucking it and stuff like that. So anywhere that they see you, they can rain down on you a little bit. So as a freshman and as a sophomore, you think, oh, this is, you know, you just put up with it because eventually you'll be the senior and you'll be able to do that. Well, enrollment was kind of down a little bit. And my junior year, we went co-ed and military optional. So basically everybody that was
so you didn't get the chance.
Well, everybody that was a mess up, everyone that was a screwball, just exited the program. So if you had anybody that, you know, was you know, out of not out of shape, but you know, was screwing up, you couldn't beat them into shape. get them to quit the program. And there was a lot of people that just quit the program. And then having girls there was great, but there were only like five girls in each of my two classes. So it was like there weren't that many girls that came those first couple of years. Now it's about 50-50 and it's a great program. Kevin Plank graduated from there, I think a year or 2 years before I did. And he's the, you know, CEO of Under Armour. And he went to St. John's College High School and then he went to University of Maryland. And since he's, you know, a multimillionaire, he's basically decked out these two schools with all Under Armour contracts and the best weight room and everything. So it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So now when you were there and everything, and you said that you didn't go to prom, but you went to what was the ball called?
It's called the regimental ball. So that's where everybody they puts up the sabers and they, you know, and you walk under the sabers kind of stuff.
Yeah. So you go to the regimental ball and then where did the girls come from? Was it like did you have like a sister school across town or something that you?
We generally kind of adopted, we adopted Good Counsel, but Good Counsel was a co-ed school. But I think, you know, one of my guy friends had a girlfriend there. So just to make it easier, I think we got all of our girlfriends from over there.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So, yeah. So there was Good Counsel was our unofficial sister school. And we just ignored the fact that they had guys there.
Right. I got you. All right. So you kind of went to a prom. I mean, so you wore probably instead of a tuxedo, you would wear like your JROTC uniform and stuff, right?
Yeah. Our dress greens. Yeah. Well,
that's kind of cool, though. I mean, it's like a different take on it. I mean, I think I would probably appreciate that better because, I mean, prom just was.
How was your prom?
It was okay. It was okay. I mean, the girl I went with, she was pretty cute and everything, which is all right. But I don't know. I see it today, too, like working at the high school, and they all hype it up and everything. And, you know, well, in Chicago, what they would do is they would go to, like, every year would be, like, a big hotel ballroom downtown Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you would get a limo or you would do something to go. And it was, like, really awesome. I mean, you know, depending on, like, the ballroom that it was in and such would be these, like, grand ballrooms of these really high-end hotel and stuff,
right.
Like the Drake Hotel or something, and, you know, really beautiful and so on. Here in California, or at least where I go to school and stuff, like, it's in the gymnasium.
Yes.
You know, and then the kids show up, and it's, I don't know, it's just, like, I think kids here kind of miss out on. And maybe it's because it's not like in a big city or something. So they don't have as much opportunity to go to a nice place or whatever. But it just seems kind of lame. It's expensive, you know, tuxedos and expensive dresses. It seems like from the school side of it, you have to police so much of like the dress wear, the dress code.
Really?
Trying to keep all the girls from dressing all slutty, you know.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's just kind of bizarre to me. Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. And when I went too, it was like the girls would wear like the Southern Belle big poofy dresses back in the day, like the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
And oh, it was just awful. I mean, looking back at the pictures, and I had like the hair parted down the middle, feathered back with the mullet, you know, and stuff. And oh, God. It is so like it.
Yes.
It is dated. The pictures from my prom are dated.
Well, can you imagine? Can you imagine the pressure on it these days with like promposals and stuff like that? I was like, you.
The hell's a promposal?
You haven't heard of this promposal?
No.
It's basically like you have to come up with a very inventive way to ask the girl that you want to take to prom out. Yeah. That's a new thing.
Really? And what if you don't? She says no.
Well, it depends on how you know, foregone the conclusion is of whether you're going to go out or not, you know?
I guess. I could just imagine a knuckleheaded, like, 17-year-old. You want to go to prom with me? All, like, yeah. Awkward. And it's just.
Yes, that much is true. But anyway, so this movie, Prom.
Yeah, Prom. It's on Netflix.
Netflix, so easy. No barrier to entry here. Ryan Murphy, do you like Glee? Do you like, what is it? American Horror? And this is more on the Glee side for sure, but.
Oh yeah, for sure. Never saw American Horror. Like I'm not a fan of made for TV or made for movie screen musicals.
Okay.
I like going to the theater. And when I say the theater, I don't mean like AMC. I'm talking like
right,
Pantages
right.
Or something, right? You know, like Broadway, off-Broadway kind of stuff. Like, I like that stuff. I just don't like that stuff when it's on television.
Now, how do you draw the line now when it's so blurred? Because, I mean, the caliber of this cast is Oscar award-winning. You know, they have major stars doing major musical numbers.
I just can't get into it.
Just because you're watching it on television? You need it on a big screen and in a movie theater?
Like Hamilton, for example. Hamilton was okay. I would have enjoyed it more and better if I was in a seat in the theater watching it.
Okay.
Like we watched, you know, just to jump ahead slightly, we watched Jingle Jangle.
Okay, right.
And we're watching it and stuff, and it's like, okay, we're going on. And then they have like these numbers, and it's like, eh. Like, it's entertainment. I'm not saying it's not I'm not saying they're not talented or anything. That, believe me, it's none of that. It's just, it's not the way I would prefer to watch a singing number.
Okay.
You know, like you had Singing in the Rain, for example, on one of your movie posters, right?
Yes.
I don't get into those.
But that was in the movie theater. Like, that was in the movie theaters, and so that was.
Right, it's made for TV, or well, I should say it's a made for screen musical.
Oh, okay, okay. So that makes, okay, I get you. Okay, so, okay,
do you
now
see what I mean?
That makes more sense. So anything filmed, I thought you were defining it between small screen and big screen. You're talking about live action, live actors singing. Right, okay, I got you.
Live in front of me on stage versus recorded on a screen.
Right. So even if you're in a movie theater, yeah.
I don't care if the screen is at AMC.
So AMC or at your house, you don't care. It's not for you. Not your cup of tea.
And I think the thing is when if it's whatever, we were talking about Mile 22 last week, right? I'm not going to at the end of a scene stand up and cheer because like he killed like all these assassins.
Right.
I want to like if there's a dance number and at the end of the dance number, like I want to cheer and I want them to feel the vibe of the crowd. I want the crowd to amp them up on stage. So you have that crowd actor, dancer, performer relationship.
Yeah. The energy, you can feel it.
The energy and so on. Right. And when those types of numbers are going on, it's not necessarily acting in the sense of what you would expect from a movie to have acting, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's more a performance as opposed to acting.
Right.
And I want the performance to give me the sensation of excitement and energy to where like I almost want to be dancing with them or something. And I want to like cheer and clap and applaud and whistle or whatever I want to do. So they get the energy from the audience that's kind of all engulfing and all encompassing in the experience of being in the movie theater. I mean, I'm sorry, in the
crowd, in the audience of a live performance. Right.
Exactly. And that's why I don't get into it because they're not intended to be drama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you watch The Mandalorian, it's intended to be drama. You know, it's a drama really, right? So you're watching it and there's all this stuff going on and this acting going on and you're suspending disbelief because of the story that they're telling and so on.
Right.
Where a performance like Hamilton, yeah, they're telling a story and there's acting, I get that. But it's also, I want the relationship, a two-way relationship between them on stage and me in the crowd and others in the crowd.
So that's where I guess there's another point of confusion maybe. When you watch Hamilton on Disney Plus, mm-hmm. you're watching a recording of a bunch of live performances or one live performance or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it's cut together and it's, you know, edited. And it has a live audience there that is reacting to the actors on stage. But the fact that you're not in that audience is part of the problem.
Yeah. Let's say, for example, I put it on too late
mm-hmm.
and I started like dozing off. It's not I don't have the energy in that crowd to keep me from dozing off because I'm an observer. It's like this. When like we were another thing we were watching, just as an example, we're watching this show called Nightfall, and the Pope in there said a marriage is between three people: the husband, the wife, and the Lord. Okay, so that was a way of looking at marriage from a religious perspective. Let's say,
right?
If you're watching a recording of Hamilton with a live studio audience, you have the audience,
the cast and crew,
stage
yeah.
actors, performers, the cast and everything. And then you have the observer who's kind of like, you know, once removed because there's a screen and it's a recording.
They're asynchronous, the asynchronous observer. I see.
Exactly. So, yeah. And it's just, I'm not a part of it. So if I wanted to pause it, and go to the bathroom or get a beer or right. make more right, popcorn, right, right. I could. And it's like, it doesn't mean anything
yes.
to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as meaningful as if you're there and you're captivated by the performance because you know it's live. And like in Prom, for example, I don't know how many takes one of those things were. It could have been 25 takes. But I know even if they screw up, when I'm live on stage, let's just assume they screw up a line or something.
Mm-hmm.
Do I know or do I not know? I couldn't tell you. But let's say they screw up to the point where like somebody trips or whatever, and they recover, and then they make like a little remark about tripping,
mm-hmm.
you know, top of the head, improv, all that stuff, you know, and it's like, and it just like continues to flow, and it's like every performance is its own new and unique performance.
I agree with you there. We went to see Pink. I think we talked about that in one of my previous episodes here. But when we went to see Pink, she did the same thing where she flubbed one of her lines, and she kind of poked fun at herself about flubbing the line and not knowing like one of her top songs, you know? And she like thanked the audience for getting it right while she was doing it wrong. So it was like, it had this great back and forth that was something that was memorable, a memorable moment that was something that you could only experience there live as part of that audience. So
I'm sure the performances in Prom are fantastic.
Academy Award winning level.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure they're fantastic. I'm sure the choreography is amazing. The singing, the dancing. I will take nothing away from the talent, obviously. It doesn't get me motivated to be like, oh my God, I want to see it over and over and over. You know, I might watch it once. I'm not saying I won't, but what I'm saying is like, eh. However, if somebody said, Jim, here's some tickets to the Pantages, you want to go see them? Hell yeah, let's go, man. That'll be fun.
What do you think? What do you think about the cast, though? I mean, it's pretty amazing to be able to gather these people.
Yeah, it's stacked. It makes you wonder, though. I mean, this is probably. Do you think this was done pre-COVID or since COVID?
I don't know. I mean, I would think that. I would think it's pre-COVID.
Okay, because there's a lot of people like jaws to jowls up in this place.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, from my friends in the industry, and obviously I'm once removed from actual film industry, but they're full swing production now. So I think the hiccup that we're looking at, the disruption that we saw has already taken place in the theatrical window release. So that shelving of all the things that were going to be in the theaters is going to push into the first half of 2021 and then into the summer of 2021. So the productions that are going to mix in between the stuff that was held back, that's going to then release in 2021, as well as then the new productions, we're not going to have the feeling of like missing out on it. So I think the way that they're testing for production and for stuff that's crewing now and for stuff that's in production now is, you know, I think it's just a little bit more labored, but I don't think we'll ever notice anything other than creative ideas that are going to try to encapsulate this time in our history. And I really, and you know, and I saw a promo for a TV show, like a courtroom drama. I don't even know what it is. It's a female judge or something like that. And it was so strange to me that they had like, the judge wasn't wearing any mask or anything like that, but all the prosecutor and the DA, they're all wearing masks and they have like partitions up. And I was like, did they want to encapsulate this time in space and this time in history? Or were they just doing it so that they could have a production that could more easily take place in this time and space, and you know, and have like the one person, the lead actress, the lead couple of actresses be maskless, but they are never in scenes with other people, you know? So it was strange to see something that you know is post-corona, when I think so many things that we are going to see throughout 2021 will be shot post-corona, but will have no real indication that it was shot post-corona. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. So looking at Prom then, kind of through that lens a little bit,
uh-huh.
If this was shot, well, I wouldn't say post-corona.
During corona.
Like current corona. Oh, wait, you're saying post-corona. So 10 years from now, if you were to watch it, you wouldn't know it was done during corona is what you mean.
Correct.
Got you. Okay. So if this was done, I don't know when it was filmed, but if it was filmed since March, how do you think they would have done all the choreographing and the dancing with everybody so close and, you know, without, I mean, it just seems like this couldn't have been done in the past 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, I guess, I would guess that you couldn't have, I would guess that you're right on that, But I mean, they test so much. What do they test? Like 3-4 times a week, you know?
Oh, you're saying they test all these people. They get the, okay, everybody's clean. Let's go do the shot.
Everybody's clean. If you're in the shot, you can be without a mask. If you're a crew, then you're wearing a mask, even though you're test. Everybody's testing.
Right.
Yeah. If you're a grip, you're a dolly, you know, you're wearing a mask and you're testing the same way everybody else is testing, you know? So if there's any kind of, you know, cross talk, or you're taking a sip of your water and your mask is off while you're doing it, you know, you're just sent home.
So they're doing like, I don't know, whatever the stage is for one of those big dance scenes. I mean, you're talking like 200 people or something. And I mean, when I say 200 people, I'm also
behind the scenes.
Like,
yeah.
Lighting. Yeah. The director, the camera guys and stuff. So say 200 people, everybody shows up for like a 7 a.m. call, but they get there at like 4 a.m. so they can get all the testing in.
Yeah. And I think the testing, who knows how rapid they're doing the testing. I still think it's 24 hours. And maybe there's a bubble for some of the people, okay. You know, like, oh, we have this huge choreographed number this week. We're going to bunker down and hunker down, and we're going to keep you guys here. We're going to test you at the beginning and we're going to test you throughout, but
we're going to test everybody on Tuesday and we're going to do the big shoot on Thursday.
And then we're going to keep everybody here. You know, we'll keep everybody in the hotel. Yeah, we're going to keep them in a hotel. We're going to handle transpo. You know what I mean? It's like everything's kind of handled for you. So this is just a heightened level of handling everything like that. And that.
So do you think if that's the way they work it, do you think there's like extra per diem involved and more money paid out and stuff?
Well, I mean, less per diem, because they'd be like, you can't go out to dinner. You can't go out to there. We're going to cater everything more. You know, we're going to, you know, and as far as like, I think the expense is more overhead. It's more admin. It's more the testing, it's more rapid, you know, responses. Oh, you don't have a mask. You don't have to wear that mask and gloves. We'll provide masks and gloves. You know, you go on to the set. You have to go to the bathroom. You throw the mask and gloves out. You go to the bathroom. You know, you wash your hands and then you come back and you get new masks and gloves, and everything's provided for you so that you don't have to incur the prohibitive cost of, like, you know, we just go to the grocery store and, you know, we're going through masks and gloves like crazy. And we do a lot of masking and I switch to the non-latex gloves, because I'm like, I can't do anything with these sandwich gloves. So I switched to the non-latex medical gloves, and I'm like, ugh, I just throw out so many of these gloves, but hey, that's what we do to try to be safe, you know?
So do you, pardon the pun, but do you think this is a loose take on Footloose?
No, I mean, I don't.
It's like an Indiana, like Christian town dancing. I mean, I know the one was dancing, this one's being gay and stuff. Like, I get the, I mean, it's not a one-to-one court.
Are you saying Kevin Bacon is a fancy lad? No. No, I agree that there is a bit of a uptightness that they're kind of dealing with. And it's so funny, Keegan-Michael Key, what is he? He's the villain du jour, like he's the villain in Jingle Jangle. And now he's like the uptight guy in this, the uptight principal in this one, you know? So he has this nice guy persona that's like, oh, it's okay if he's a bad guy, because you still kind of like him, and he's likable enough that he can be this soft bad guy that can be easily won over.
Sure. And then it's the second, what, week in a row or something with a James Gordon movie.
I know.
Yeah, so he's doing his thing. He's out there making it for himself, so. Yeah, no, I mean, it looks like I said, I mean, the cast is just, like, tremendous.
I mean, Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman, I'll see it for them alone.
Oh yeah, why not?
Okay.
All right, man, Little Fish.
Now I got you on this one. I totally see your COVID misdirection on this one.
Oh, okay, go for it then.
No, go for it. I mean, I love it. They're wearing masks and you're thinking, all right, we got the COVID. We had that other one. What's the other one called? Songbird or whatever.
Oh, that one where it's the not the zombies, but it's like where the
right. COVID 26 or whatever was it?
Oh yeah, it was like COVID
something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that. But no, Little Fish, so it starts off, again, misdirection. You see the guy sitting with the mask on.
Mask,
like,
you know.
And he's
right.
being interrogated or whatever, and it's like, oh, here we go, a COVID-19. Like
cautionary tale.
Cautionary tale kind of a thing. And in a way, it kind of is. It's just a different take on how it affects the brain and makes everybody, like, lose their memory or whatever it is. And I don't know. It looks okay. I think it's too soon. It's a little bit too depressing, a little bit too close to home right now. I think a movie coming out like this, like, okay, let's just say a hypothetical 12 months from now, mm-hmm. vaccines are out, COVID-19's gone, life is maybe not gone, but like everybody's kind of like immune to it, whatever. Life returns to normal as we knew it. You know, you're going to the movie theater, you're at restaurants, you're doing whatever you're doing. Now this movie comes out.
Good time.
Okay. Maybe it's a reminder of, like, again, a cautionary tale to say, look, we made it through that. We had some speed bumps. Some people died. We had some hiccups with the economy, a few things here and there. But we got out of it mostly unscathed.
Uh-huh.
Here's a cautionary tale for the next time it happens. Let's not be caught off guard. I could totally get behind that. Right now, it's too soon.
But, I mean, this is more of an allegory for me. I think this is, you know, independent film, IFC, Independent Film Channel. It uses current events as an allegory for something else, right? Like, I think...
Well, I mean, I think it's to just be cautious. I think it's very connected to COVID. I think it's just a different way to tell the COVID-19 story.
Right.
But I also get a sense of conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like there's some conspiracy going on in there. I don't know what it is, but I can see it going down that rabbit hole.
Right.
I probably won't. I'll probably watch.
Uh-huh.
Little Fish, probably not, because, like I said, it's just too soon, man. I mean, we're living it. Why do I want to watch it while I'm living it? Like, it's a double punch in the face.
This is coming out February 5th, so maybe by...
Oh, you're saying it's over by then.
Maybe then, you know, you take your second round of your...
COVID's over by Easter, is that it?
You take your second round of the vaccine, you know, you have your new RNA spliced into you, and you figure out that you're pretty impervious to a lot of COVID, so you're good to go.
Well, when Trump said it was going to be done by Easter, he never said which one.
Yeah, you know, I...
What's your opinion? What do you think? I mean, do you like this?
I like it. I like it. I like the idea of your memory, and I like the way that they...
Like the cranial plug or whatever they called it?
Yeah.
Or
well, no, I like the consequences of having something that is like this, that the very real... idea of a ship captain forgetting how to sail, so he jumps in the water and tries to swim away. The pilot forgetting how to fly in the middle of flying. You know, it just has this level of peril that is unparalleled. You know, it's like it's an interesting take on something that is kind of asymptomatic until it's not. You know, so it's this awful killer that would not kill. In the way that viruses typically kill. You know, viruses typically kill by overpopulating the body and then, you know, and then exploding out into the population, you know?
The other side of it, I think, is when you look at Songbird in this, when you think about the conspiracy side of it, Songbird had the conspiracy too, where like the woman didn't appear to be infected with COVID-25 or whatever it was.
Right.
And here comes like some agents to haul her off. And this is kind of the same thing where the guy's sitting there, he's being interrogated, yet his memory still seems to be intact, yet they're accusing him of not being able to remember, and they're going to do this cranial
right.
probe thing So I don't know. I mean, they're very similar on that regard. But with what you're saying about viruses, I mean, it seems to be a part of the movie, but then the conspiracy comes in. Somehow it seems that it's gonna play into it. You know, I don't know. I guess you have to watch to find out. Obviously,
you have to watch. And luckily, it's gonna be in theaters and streaming in February 5th. I will say, I think you had said if this had come out after it was over and we're all back to normal, are you going to go back to the movie theaters when you have the vaccine? Or what do you think? Do you think movie theaters are going?
Do you think we're not going to be in a movie theater in 5 years from now?
Well, no. Okay. 5 years. 5 years. Yes. But do you think it would ever go back to 100% normal? You think we'll go?
What time frame are you giving?
Well, I think. So
yes, I think things will go back to 100% normal. It's just what's the time frame?
So you think that within five years, you're going to go to movie theaters and you'll be sitting elbow to elbow with strangers.
100%.
And no one in the theater will be wearing a mask in 5 years.
In 5 years? 100%.
No single American will be wearing a mask.
Oh, I'm not saying. I mean, there might be somebody wearing a mask or something.
If I had a cold and I wanted to go to the movie theaters.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
I would want to wear a mask and just be that guy. You know what I mean? I'd be the guy that wanted to go out and there's no epidemic, there's no pandemic, there's no strain of flu that is killing all the grandparents. But maybe I have a sniffles. And I will say, so Imagination Game is out now and on streaming, and we get promos for it all the time. I think IMDb. And it was like, I saw it and I remembered, Anne and I went to go see the Imagination Game in the movie theaters. And I had like a cough, right? And this is obviously pre-COVID, so it's like not a big thing. But I just didn't want to be a distraction in the movie theater. So I ran out to the concierge and I found like a Halls or something. And I just started popping Halls through the movie. And I was like, oh, I just don't want to be an annoyance in the movie theater to the, you know, this is like a Tuesday night. So it's like to the 20 other people in the movie theater. So I was like popping Halls the whole night for the rest of the movie.
But you shouldn't bring a baby who's crying to the movies either, though, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I mean, what I would say, though, is, and I agree with you, it's like if you have strep throat, stay home. You don't need to go to the movies. You know, if you have a fever, if you have a sinus infection where you're blowing green goobers that are like thicker than a swamp or something, yeah.
I would posit that if you said to Americans in 5 years, if you were sick to stay home, don't forget 2020, and they actually stayed home, that is a marked change for the better for America. And I think tons of people go to work pre-COVID that should not have gone to work. And I would even say early on in my career, I would say like, oh, no cold is going to keep me down, thinking that I was some kind of Superman for like gutting it out. Yeah, like I'm gutting it out because I'm so needed in this position.
Think about this. How many years have gone by? Take COVID out of the – take 2020 out of the equation. How many years have gone by where people have often said, if you're sick, stay home?
But it didn't carry the weight.
No, I understand that. But what I mean is – people already had that notion where if you're sick, don't be the hero, stay home. See, this is where I think America needs to change, or United States needs to change. And that is, I don't care if you're a salaried employee or you're
unlimited 6 days.
Well, I would say unlimited. But what I would say is, though, if you're sick, I don't care if you have the sniffles. If you're sick, don't come into work. You know, I don't know how you police it.
Doctor's note.
Maybe, but then you're going to be everybody who has, I don't need to go to the doctor if I have the sniffles.
Fever, if you have a fever.
I'm adult enough to say like, hey, you know what? I'm sick. I shouldn't go to work. I'm going to be out for 2 days. But how many people are going to take advantage of that? And people will, unfortunately.
They're going to, everybody's going to Ferris Bueller the thermometer, take a picture of this 104.
Yeah, exactly. Their brain's melting, you know?
Well, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Like, yes, everybody said, if you're sick, stay home. And then, you know, people are like, are you going to?
But they still didn't.
Are you going to pay me? You know, I'm out of my 5 sick days for the year. Are you going to pay me for staying home? I can't, you know, my boss says if I take another sick day, I'm going to get fired. You know what I mean? So I think on the management side, there's going to be some change. On the personal side, we'll see if it works. Yeah.
You know, people are creative. Logistically, no, what I mean is logistically, I think we could figure it out. People are creative. They'll come up with ways. Maybe there'll be apps that'll be developed. I don't know. When it comes to entertainment, restaurants, bars, nightclubs, movie theaters, you know, all that kind of stuff, just stay home for that weekend. You know what? I don't care if you're 21 and all your buddies are going out trying to get laid or something. Dude, just stay home for that weekend. You could get laid the following weekend. But see, I was that age too, and I always believed like every weekend was the last weekend there'll ever be a woman on the planet or something. And then you realize now you're pushing 50, like, the last thing I need is another woman in my life.
The one's enough, right?
Yeah, one's more than enough. Yeah, I love her to death, but more than enough, right? But no, I mean, I don't know. I think we're going overboard a little bit here, but
yeah.
The bottom line is, yes, in 5 years, I think people won't have masks. They'll go to the movies. They'll still go to restaurants and stuff. However, I think it's, you know, like Asian countries, you know? So, okay, I get it. The movies, bars and stuff, you have a cold, just stay home.
Right.
You have to go to the grocery store because you live alone, you have a cold, and you need to get a prescription, cold medicine, or just plain old grocery shopping, and you just have a standard, regular, common cold.
Wear a mask. There you go.
Just wear a mask. Like, I have no problem with that. And it's not saying, like, I'm afraid. See, I think it could be taken two ways. One is people are going to see you with the mask and, oh my God, he's like the plague. Or people are going to see you with the mask and be like, what, you think I'm sick? And then people get defensive about it.
Why though? Why do they get defensive about it? That's so weird. It's so 100%. They feel like threatened. Yeah.
It's like accusatory. Right? It's accusatory. What, you don't trust me?
Let me cough in your face. I'm fine.
Or if it's not that, it's like, no, I'm sick. I'm protecting you. Then why are you here?
Because I live alone, asshole.
Because I live alone and I have to get groceries. Because I need a gallon of milk and bananas. Exactly. That's why I'm here, you know? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, man, what are you watching this week?
All right. So what are we watching? So we've watched a lot of stuff. So I just wrapped up Ted Lasso for the fifth time this year. So
I was going to say, man, Ted, I said, Ted, are you just about ready? He said, hold on 25 minutes till Ted Lasso's done.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's a hope that kills, the final episode of Ted Lasso.
You know what? You are milking Apple TV Plus for all it's worth, man. You're just getting it.
I'm going to keep watching Ted Lasso, and Ted Lasso's going to keep me subscribed, because both Bryce and Audrey were like, when's the next season coming out? And I'm like, I think January? I don't even know.
It's only one season.
No, it's
correct.
Three seasons. So only one season is out now.
Oh, okay.
But halfway through the first season, they're like, oh, green light. You get two more seasons at least.
What did it originally air on?
It aired, I want to say, March? It aired earlier this year.
No, you said three seasons are out?
No. Not three. So only one season is out. They greenlit two seasons. It's such a good show that they said, you got two and three. You're good to go for two and three.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we just watched that. The best thing we watched this week was Clouds. Bryce started to watch Clouds. You haven't heard of it?
Never heard of it.
Okay. Well, you have it because you have Disney Plus. But it is a tear jerker if you ever wanted one.
Oh, God. Is it animated? Is it live action? Or?
No, it's live action. It's live action. It's a life, real life story of a cancer kid, a kid who has cancer in high school.
Oh,
and God. Instead of just succumbing to his cancer, he makes a he takes his best friend, who happens to be a girl, and he writes songs with her, and he performs them on YouTube, and he gets a record deal, and he performs them, and he you know, he basically lives a very full life to the age of 18 when he passes away.
Oh, man.
I spoiled it. I spoiled the real life story. Sorry. Bryce is here at the live audience. And when anytime you do that story, you know that you're going to, you know that the kid's, you know, going to pass away. And it's just how he handles this.
Yeah. The minute they start in the first, like when it starts in the first 20 minutes of the movie, it's like, yeah, he has cancer. You're like, well, I see where this is going.
Yeah. It was great. Bryce brought it to the family. He started watching it 20 minutes in, and then we're like, all right, we're just going to have to rewatch it. So we did that. And then he has this great, there's a great, and I don't know how this was in real life, but there's a great kind of romantic tension. I don't want to call it a love triangle, but there's this romantic tension between him and his girlfriend and then his best friend. So it's really just this wonderful group, you know, interaction between these people. And then, you know, anytime you have a real life story, something that's based on real life, you always have the stills at the end of the movie that show you like the real things.
Oh, yeah.
Except this one goes even one step further. It has like the actors playing the characters interacting with their real life counterparts. And like, and you have like Neve Campbell, who plays the mother, hugging the real mother in real life. And it just has this, it has this uplifting bond that,
really cool,
that these
actually.
People have made over the course of this boy's life. And now that he's
passed.
Man,
I'm already teary-eyed. I haven't even seen it.
And now that he's passed, there's still this camaraderie between the real life people and the actors that portrayed them during the thing.
What kind of cancer did he have? Do you know?
Astrosarcoma, something.
That's, you don't have to look it up or anything. I was just curious.
Yeah, something like that. It's an astrosarcoma, something.
Like a bone cancer, maybe?
It seemed like it was in his hips and stuff. Like it was in his legs.
Yeah. Oh, man, the poor kid. That sucks.
So that was the most impactful thing we watched. To lighten the mood after that or before that, I forget where it was, we watched Tower Heist. Have you seen Tower Heist?
Tower Heist? Haven't even heard of that one.
It's a super old movie. It's like a Ben Stiller, Eddie Murphy movie. So it's so funny. Every time we watch an Eddie Murphy movie, I turn to Bryce and Ann, and I turn to Bryce and we say, Bryce, you know Eddie Murphy? He loves your eyes. Eddie, Ann ran into Eddie Murphy at a Pete's Coffee on Ventura Boulevard when Bryce is a baby. And she was holding Bryce in that mommy wrap, the carrier. And
what do you mean, mommy? Hey, I wore that wrap a few times with the boys. So it's not a mommy wrap only.
Okay. I wore the baby Bjorn. That's more the manly version of the wrap. Baby Bjorn clips in. It just has the big clips. And it just, then you can more easily eject the children out of the Baby Bjorn. But no, it's so funny because they're in line to get coffee and Eddie Murphy turns around and he looks at Bryce in the face and Bryce looks back at Eddie Murphy in his eyes and Eddie turns to Anne and says, oh, your baby has the most beautiful eyes, you know? And it was just so, so cute and nice and like only in Ventura, you know, only on Ventura Ave do you get those kind of fun interactions. But it's a fun Ben Stiller movie. Because we had just recently watched all the Ocean's 11 movies, the kids are like, what's this movie about? What's this movie about? I was like, this is like Ocean's 5, you know? And it has Casey Affleck in it, who's in Ocean's 11. So it's like, there's a little bit of a crossover there where, you know, he plays another character. And then because it was Thanksgiving, we were reminded of, by Toon Styles, another podcast that I follow and I listen to, they reminded me of the WKRP in Cincinnati, the turkey drop episode.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that at all?
No.
Oh my God. It is the best Thanksgiving anything. It has the news guy from WKM in Cincinnati, and he's basically giving play-by-play of a helicopter with his boss and the head PR guy dropping something out of a helicopter. It's a must watch. It's 3 minutes long. It's genius. It is the most comedic thing. I'll send you a link. You'll love it, and we'll put it in the show notes for the people.
Okay, sounds good.
So Bryce is here. And it was his first time seeing something from the 1980s, I think is way back.
Way back when.
25 years before you were born. And so the coolest thing about television back then is that you had to paint the picture. It was kind of like radio. It was like we're showing you pictures. However, we're a television show, so we cannot have the budget to actually do these things. And because we're on a radio show, we get to describe them and have it be part of the mise-en-scene, the part of what we're constructing. So it was great to show that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what was your other than it being very bad quality because you're pulling it off YouTube, what was your thoughts on it?
My thoughts were it was just truly, truly funny. Like the only thing that really was confusing was the turkeys falling and how the turkeys were running around after they fell. Kind of confusing.
All right. So you have to watch. It's a must watch. It's a must listen. Maybe we'll throw a clip in here because it is audio special. But it is an amazing thing. So we'll definitely do that. And then the last thing, and you know, let me tell you about Anne. Anne's still on her West Wing saga, but she's now infected the whole family. We love it. It's great. I found a.
I've never seen it. Maybe we should watch it.
I think you'd like it. You know, we're.
What are you guys watching it on?
It's on Netflix. It's super easy. So the first season's good, but the second season, man, it really hits its stride. I think 2 through 4.
And this came out like 04 to 08 or something like that, or
actually I think the '90s. The late '90s.
I thought it came out in the Bush era.
No, it came out either 2000 or 99. Let's look it up. Yeah. So 99. So you gotta think in the second season of this, it's airing October. There's a couple episodes, right? And it says
right before Bush Gore.
Well, 9/11 happens, and there's one episode where they have a lockdown of the White House, and this group of students is locked into the mess in the White House, and they're basically talking about terrorism for an hour, just as like a classroom, and it is the most impactful thing I've seen on television in a long time.
And this is prior to 9/11?
No, right after it. It's like so topical. That it's like October 9/11.
Yeah, but they didn't mean it to be that way, did they?
No, they totally did.
Oh, they did.
It's okay. Intentional. Yeah. It's like September 11th happened. Middle of October, they have a show coming out. Let's do a show where it's just one set piece where we just have our characters talking to a bunch of students about what is terrorism.
Got it.
And why is it so impactful and how long has it been going on? And then our B plot is going to be somebody that we've ferreted out in the White House that we think is a terrorist.
Got it.
Because he matches the name of a terrorist. So we're going to interrogate him as the B plot, but then we're going to find out that he's not at all, you know, guilty, you know? So, oh, sorry. I ruined it for you. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Like I'm going to remember.
So the second season was amazing, and now I'm kind of all in, and we kind of watch 2 or 3 episodes a night where we can slam it in.
And are they 1 hour or like 42 minutes or whatever?
Yeah, they're 42 minutes. And it's so funny because the kids are watching it. So Bryce was saying like where they dip to black, that's where the commercials used to go. And I'm like, yeah, that's where the commercials used to go. So they still dip to black.
Oh, it's not where they used to go. It's where they still go.
But not on Netflix. On Netflix, you don't see any commercials.
Oh, we're not there yet.
How about you? What have you been watching besides Jingle Jangle and not liking it?
Okay, so I didn't say I didn't like Jingle Jangle. I said it's not, I'm not into the on TV or on screen musicals. dance numbers and stuff. Yeah, I mean, the story was, I love the story and everything. And I mean, it was good. I just don't get into, you know, I think Barbara and Clarissa enjoyed it more than me and Frank.
Okay, good. All right.
Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. So we watched that. And I did appreciate
the
take on the Wookiee Christmas while Rey's off doing her thing with the portals and everything. It was okay. I think it Timmy and Mikey were like, I mean, they were so giddy and laughing. I mean, they just loved it. Somebody who's a fan of Star Wars, it was okay. I think it was more just like the silliness and stuff. But the boys loved it.
It knows its audience. And I too thought it was a bit thin on like how it's getting from here to there. And it's like, okay, it's fine.
But I got to say, the way my kids reacted and the joy they had, it made me like it. We saw The Mandalorian and we learned the name of the child,
Grogu. So wait, but this was one of the best Mandalorians ever. Like,
well, Ahsoka Tano and everything was in there. Dual wielding.
Yeah, the action, it's amazing. I read something later how Last Jedi, The Rise of Skywalker said, hey, why don't you help us explain why there's a fleet of destroyers in the space? And this is like, now it's become like this secondary plot where they're smelting, they're getting all the resources and all the ore from all these planets to make all those destroyers that are in the sky.
To make everything, yeah. Yeah, and then we watched Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas.
Oh, okay. Nice classic there, yeah?
Yeah, and, you know, the thing I liked about it, though, is oftentimes you hear kids, and my kids too, and I'm sure me as a kid, I wish Christmas could be every day.
Right.
And, you know, like, I don't ever want Christmas to end. And it kind of goes down that path, and it was like, that was kind of the running theme throughout, is like, what if Christmas never ended or whatever? Just because something is awesome, you know, yeah, I love German chocolate cake, but if that's all I ate for every meal for everything, it would be hell on earth, you know, everything in moderation. And if there's a reason it's one day and we do it the way we do the one day, because if we did it every single day and the big old aunt came and gave you good big hugs, and you'd be running.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with Thanksgiving, right? Like Thanksgiving is like you stuff yourself with turkey. You watch a lot of football and, you know, you couldn't do that every day of the year.
If every day was Thanksgiving, I would be I'm a skinny guy. I would be morbidly obese. You know what I mean? Like you can't do it. Yeah. Anyway, and then Clarissa and I have been watching Nightfall.
Okay.
And that's on Netflix. I think it was made for the History Channel, from what I could tell. And like you were saying, the fade to black, when that's when the commercials came or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Throughout the whole thing, that's what you see. There's no commercials, but you see that fade to black, just like Bryce was describing. And when you have that fade to black, yeah, you're like, oh, that was a commercial. And they're like 42 to 45 minutes per, and but it's about the Knights Templar, and you know, and I like the beginning, the way they do it, because it says something to the effect of the people, the battles, the story are all accurate accounts of history. The story that we've created is fictional,
right?
You know, and they didn't. I'm paraphrasing, but that's kind of how they did it. And I was like, well, yeah. We don't know the conversations people had and all this stuff. And so that's...
It's your Chernobyl explanation.
Chernobyl. Exactly, you know. And so, but so far, it's really good. I really enjoy it. I know Clarissa does too. And then the thing that really blew me away and what I really enjoyed was A Christmas Carol, but the 2009 Jim Carrey animated version.
Oh, I don't know this one. Oh, yeah. No, I know that one. Okay, yeah, sorry. So you like that one?
I would say probably my favorite rendition of A Christmas Carol.
Okay, it was panned at the time. It was not liked at the time that it came out.
Really?
The mocap, people thought there was an Uncanny Valley thing going on there with all the mocap.
Yeah, I could see that. But I think now that we're like 11 years on this side of it,
right,
it doesn't look so uncanny, you know, if you think about it.
It's more nostalgia. You can hold it off at a distance and squint a little bit and you're fine with it. Yeah.
Well, the Uncanny Valley 2 is kind of like the Tom Hanks train one.
Polar Express.
That was freakishly weird. But what I liked about it, though, was, you know, Jim Carrey plays Ebenezer Scrooge.
Right.
He doesn't play a comedic character. It's totally like...
It's on the nose. It is. It's Dickens, yeah.
It's on the nose. It's serious. It's Dickens. The animation was fantastic. The storytelling... I mean, I thought it was fantastic. It was one of my favorite versions of A Christmas Carol.
Huh.
So I was talking to Clarissa about that, and she said, you know, I really like the Muppets.
And I will tell you that my favorite rendition of that is Scrooged.
Scrooged. Oh, Scrooged is awesome. I love Scrooged. I'm talking more about just the traditional story, the way Dickens intended it to be and so on. And yeah, it was great, man. I really enjoyed it. So, but that was our week. We had a lot of stuff. Christmas Chronicle 2 is out.
Did you watch that?
So no, but why is everything a sequel?
Well, I think Netflix just wants to lock people into 6 and 10 picture deals.
So when Netflix
hires you, they pay you up front and they're like, oh my God, it's a huge payday. And then you get no back end and then you're in a 6 picture deal and you gotta like keep churning it out for the boss, you know?
12 years later, you're like, oh, why?
And the paychecks get smaller and smaller, and then you're still churning out content for them.
And there's a line item in there. If you pass away, your heirs have to give back half the money. All right, man.
Awesome.
Another one in the can. Let's talk next week. How about?
Awesome. All right. See you next week.
All right, man. You have a good night.
All right. Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.